All right, so we're discussing yesterday Gemara suggesting that the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar will impact, right, on the way we understand those two brayos, right? There were two brayos, one or that are two members that disagree with them. One was that if you go to a chacham and he's matir the neder, then it's mikudeshet, that the tznai is fine, is in effect, and it didn't violate the tznai because she got rid of the neder mikaro. Therefore, it's okay. We had another brisa that said, what? Even if you go to a chacham beitira, it's a rofa ripeota, ena mikudeshet. So the Gemara suggested what? That has to do with the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. On what? What's their machlokas? And machlokas whether a person wants his wife to go to Beis Din and be mitbazet. I mean, that does he want his wife to go to Beis Din to be embarrassed, to get the neder to be mutar? So according to Rabbi Meir, a person's willing to have his wife go to Beis Din and be embarrassed. Why? Because there's a greater benefit. What's the greater benefit? If she gets rid of the neder, they can stay married. So he's willing to have his wife go and be embarrassed and show up in Beis Din because women were not regular attendees in Beis Din, and therefore it was something that, you know, I guess was considered a... It was a bizayim to the woman who had to go to Beis Din. And therefore, he says, Rabbi Meir says, that he's willing to go through that or have that embarrassment be placed on his wife in order to preserve the marriage. And Rabbi Elazar says, no, the person does not want his wife to go to Beis Din and be embarrassed. He'd rather have the marriage fold than have his wife go to Beis Din and be embarrassed. So the Gemara brought a Mishnah that supports that difference in their opinion. So why don't we just start? It's in the middle of Ayin Dalet Amud Bet. Just quickly do through that Mishnah, because today's Gemara continues that Mishnah, so you just have to be familiar with the Mishnah. So where it says, Mahi, where do we see this machlokus between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar, Meir and Rabbi Elazar? That's not the Mishnah. Motzi, Dishto Mishum Neder, someone who divorces his wife because she has a neder on her Lo Yachzir, right? The Chacham say that he may not take her back afterwards. That's a permanent and final divorce. If he does it because of rumors circulating about his wife, then again, he may not return his wife. What is the Tanakhama worried about here? The Tanakhama is worried that, a couple months down the line, or, 2 years down the line, she'll get remarried. He'll find out that either the rumors were not true, or she got Ataras Nadarim. And she was able to remove the nether, and the guy will say, I never wanted to get divorced. I only got divorced because I thought you had these issues. And then if I had known that these issues would go away, I would never have gotten divorced. And then what does he do? He ruins the original get. If he ruins the original get, then this woman is not allowed to marry the second person. When she marries him or has children with him, you get mamzerim. So come and say no, that if you divorce for these reasons, it doesn't. You have to know that even if these change, even the circumstances change, that's the way it's going to be. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neder sheyodeh bo rabim liyachzir. So Rabbi Yehuda says the problem here is not, we're not worried about what, whether he's going to regret it later on or change his mind. We're worried about here the fact that what? This woman was so brazen as to have taken a neder in public. She didn't just take a stam neder, she took a neder, she had to bow rabim, lo yachzir. So lo yadu bow rabim, if it wasn't a public neder, then yachzir, he can take her back, because what? Then it's not such a problematic behavior. We're worried about is that we don't want women or a person in general to be a nadronis. We don't want them to take nadarim without consideration. Someone who takes public nadarim, something like that, that's considered to be a little bit too much in terms of taking nadarim, and therefore we don't want to. Rashi says it's a pirtza yoter midai. It's too much of an issue. And then kansua, we have a knas that you can't take her back. Now Rabbi Meir Omer, so this is who we're after. We're after Rabbi Meir's position. Right? And Rabbi Elazar will be the next Maamar. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol neder shetzarech hakiras chacham lo yachzer. If it needs hataris nedarim to get rid of it, then he can't come back. Why? That's exactly the problem. The Tanakhama explained, right? The Tanakhama is the same explanation as the Tanakhama. Why? If it needs hataris nedarim, then there's a possibility that he may regret it later on. If he regrets it later on, then what? Then it'll be oker the gerushin. If it's oker the gerushin, it causes her problems if she's remarried. So therefore we say, lo yachzer, it's permanent. If you don't need a chakiras kacham, meaning that you don't need to go for a taras nedarim, then he can take her back. Why? Because there's no regret issue. The only thing, he should have acted on his own behalf. He could have been made for it. He could have nullified it. What are nedarim that you can or cannot be needed a heter nedarim for? If it's a neder that's either beino deveina or it's inui nefesh, things that affect their relationship, in those instances, those instances, he could be mafer. He could nullify it himself. The fact that he did not nullify it, he can't come back and say, "Oh, I regret I didn't nullify it." He had the opportunity, he just didn't take it. But when it comes to Hataras Nedarim is something that where it's not obvious that you can undo the nether today. That's something only in the future that may come up or figure a way out to get out of the nether later on. So that's what it means. If he could have been mayfared, if he could nullify it, if it's obvious how she could get out of the net there, mean that he has an ability to root, then when he divorces her, we don't worry about saying regret later on. There's no such thing as regret. He didn't take the action. It's over. Whereas when it's a taras nadarim, we could come to that possibility of what? Of regret later on. Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo asru tzorech elam b'nei she'eno tzorech. Right? They only assered when he needs a hataras nedarim, because when he doesn't need a hataras nedarim. So now the Gemara says, "My time with Rabbi Yehuda." So now the Gemara is going to go through each of the opinions in the Mishnah and explain what's the opinion. So what's the reasoning that by a neder shel rabim, Rabbi Yehuda says he can't come back? Dichtiv v'lohi kum b'nei Yisrael kid nishpilu lahem nisi ehayda, that b'nei Yisrael could not kill the givonim, because the Nisi'ei Ha'edah had already made a deal with them, had already made a neder, shvua, taking that they wouldn't hurt the Givonim. So that's called a neder berabim, because Nishbilhum Lehem Nisi'ei Ha'edah, right? The Nisi'ei Ha'edah, that's something that was done in public. That's a neder that cannot be reversed. Become a rabim. How much is rabim? When you say neder, Shi'edabo rabim, what's rabim? Right? So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Shlosha. That's only three. Yamim, like when we have days, is shnayim. Rabim is shlosha. So whenever the Torah uses the term yamim rabim, that already means three. I mean, rabim is you take the next incremental step. That will be the least chiddush. So what's that? Yamim is by definition what's the least amount of plural days? That's two. Rabim, if you want to extend beyond two, is going to be the least will be three. So he says rabim means three. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. That was what we were discussing also a couple of days ago about by Prius Rosh, by covering up the hair, right? When is what's considered rabim, or what's considered going out into the rabim, where a woman must cover her hair and not be in the chutzer. So this definition of rabim might have impact. If you say rabim means three, that already might impose the requirements of the woman to be have her hair covered as if she's out in public, versus the chutzer we said, or the mavui in the chutzer, where it would be less than rabim. All right, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar. How would you have thought of a rabim is a sarah? You need 10 people, right? Edah ketiv b'hu. It says nisi ha'edah. What's an edah? An edah is what? Edah, we know, that's the limud for minyan, right? So edah is 10. So therefore, that means rabim. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol neder shetzorach kekir skochem lo yachzir. Rabbi Elazar Omer, lo asru tzorach kum hirshin o tzorach. B'maikim hiflegei. What are they arguing about? This is where the Gemara explains. It's a Remeir Sava Adam Roches Mitzbaze Ishto BeBeisdin. A person's willing to have his wife be Mitzbaze in Beisdin. So therefore, what? Therefore, he can later on come back and say, "I regret divorcing my wife." Why? Because I would have sent her to the Chacham to get a if I knew she could get a Taras Nedarim, I would have sent her to the Chacham. So you see that's the position of Remeir. Rabbi Elazar Sava Ma Ain Adam Roches Mitzbaze Ishto BeBeisdin. Right, that a person does not want his wife to go and be embarrassed in Beis Din. So Hataras Nedarim is not a problem, because he would never say later on, "I regret we didn't get Hataras Nedarim." Why?
Because
he'd
have to go to Beis Din.
He'd have to go to Beis Din, and he wouldn't have done that. So we would say, "No way, you would never have done that. You didn't want your wife to go to Beis Din." So that's not the issue. So what is the issue that he can't take her back? Right? So that, if you go back to the Rashi on the previous Amud, second to last Rashi, it's about 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom, Eli Pnei She'en Otzerach. Shehitzriach HaKiris Kavcham Ein Bo Kilkul. If he needs a Taras Nedarim, there's no problem. There's no problem of the divorce. We don't allow him to say, can't say, "Had I known that she could get a Taras Nedarim, I would never have divorced her." Because what? A person doesn't want his wife to be embarrassed in Beis Din. Why do they make her usher to return? What's Eino Tzarech? He could lie and say, I didn't know about this nullification business. He could say, Hafaris Nedarim, what's Hafaris Nedarim? I never heard of this before. Had I known about Hafaris Nedarim, I would have done Hafara. We say that, the husband's silence when he hears about the neder of the wife is a kiyum neder. But that's assuming that he knew what he was doing, right? That he knew that the silence had impact, right? That he knew that he could be made for. He's saying, you know what, I didn't know I could be Mayfair. And that's what Rabbi Elazar says the problem is. And because of that problem, we also say that a Taras Nedarma, in a case of a Taras Nedarma, would also be a problem. So that's the machlokas that the Gemara wanted to get to, this idea of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar's machlokas, to impose it on our Taras Nedarim in our case, whether a Taras Nedarma would be enough to undo the Tznai. If you have a Kiddushin al Tznai that she has no Nedarim, and then she gets a Taras Nedarim, is that enough to say that the Tznai was Kuyam, and that it was okay, she didn't have any Nedarim, and therefore they're married? That would depend on how you view a Taras Nedarim. If you view a Taras Nedarim as something that a woman should, that a man would send his wife to do, then what? Then good. Then you could say, what? She did a Taras Nedarim, it's fine, and the Tznai was Kuyam, and they're married. But if a man would not be willing to send his wife to do a Taras Nedarim, because that's embarrassing, then after the fact that they had Kiddushin, and then she goes and gets a Taras Nedarim, he would say, I'd rather you didn't get that Taras Nedarim. That's an embarrassing thing. I don't want you to go and get a Taras Nedarim. Right? If you go to a Taras Nedarim, that's something that's not nisht. I don't want that. And therefore what? Therefore, we say that even though she got the Taras Nedarim, and it was Okami Kara, that's not good, because he would say, I'd rather you didn't get it. And that's a failure in the tonight. All right. Amar Rav, Baba Amar. Rav says, Ocha, Be'isha Chashuva Askinan. Here we're dealing with a really important woman. All right, so why? What's the issue of a really important woman? So I'm looking at Rashi, it's the second Rashi on the page. Yisha Chashuva Bat Gedolim. She's the daughter of some bigwigs. The feel in the mandam arutzah adam shetispazei ishto be'beis din. Even according to Rabbi Meir, who says that a person's willing to have his wife go to Beis Din, hachamar efshi be'isha nidronis. Right? He can say over here, I don't want a woman like this that takes nedarim. V'get lamad lo namino lechenli. But I don't want to give her a get. Why does he not want to give her a get? Because she comes from what? An important family. Why? What happens when he gives her a get? Then he becomes osur and all her relatives. Right? And he says, I don't want to be knocked out of this family. This family is, this is a good yichus family, and I want to be able to marry other people in this family. So that's what he says. So number one, EF should be shin adjourns, but get nami lo nechali. And I don't want to forgive her. Get lamit balad atzer ba'ima v'achota. Now I can't marry her mother or her sister. But no, nechali davi kedushin. I'm better off having it be what my tznai in the kedushin works. If that tznai works, then what? Then the kedushin fall away and I was never married to her. So even though a person might want his wife to go and be embarrassed in Beis Din, and he would want it to be a Taras Nedarim, over here he would say what? No. I don't want it to go, because I'd rather have the Kiddushin fall, because that way I can still marry the rest of her family. Because if we say the Kiddushin works, and his wife was embarrassed, went to Beis Din, got the Taras Nedarim, he'll still say that's not what I wanted, because I don't want to have to give her a get. So he was that will say then what? That's the side of the Brisa that said what? That if a woman gets a Taras Nedarim, that it doesn't work and the Kiddushin are not good Kiddushin. Why are they not good Kiddushin? Because he says, I have a Tznai that she shouldn't be an Isha, that she shouldn't be a Nadronis. She is a Nadronis, and even though she gets a Taras Nedarim, I didn't want her to do that. That's not the way I wanted to get rid of this woman. Right? Now, there's two ways to get rid of this woman who took a Nedar. One is what? To divorce her. One is to have the Tznai work and say that this woman had made a Nedar and she's no good. So that's it. So that the Kiddushin are Oker Mikara. He says, I much prefer the Kiddushin Oker Mikara because then I can marry the rest of her family. If I have to give her a get, then I lose out on marrying the rest of the family. So that's explains the other price.
He also loses out on money. Oh no, he wouldn't get the money anyway.
Who? She? She will not get a Ksuba either way. Right? She might get the money. I'm taking back. It does have an impact on Ksuba. She might get a Ksuba if we say that the Neder is Oker Mikara and that was good enough to clear the Tanai. Then she's married. She's fine. There was no.
So he's out of the family and he's out of money.
Right. In that case, he'd have to get a get, right? And so it'd be bad on both sides. Right, assuming that you get a Ksuba from a Rusin, right? All right. Now, what are you going to, if that's the case, Sefer Tanya about who shalah halach etzal chacham etiro etzal rofi ribi otom mikudeshet? What happens if he made a tnai in the kedushin that he doesn't have any nedarim on him, or he is what doesn't have any mumim? But then he goes against a taras nedarim, or he went to the doctor and got fixed up, then mikudeshet. It doesn't matter. Then it's okay. So that sounds strange. Right, why, before in our Mishnah, before we either differentiated between Hataras Nedarim and a Rofe. A Rofe is Mikana Lahaba, only works going forward, and therefore it was a failure in the Tanai. And Ataris Chachamim, Ataris Nadarim was what? Was Oker Mikar, went back and uprooted it retroactively. So therefore it was a good Kedushin. Or even if there was one Bryce that said that even that doesn't help. So how come here by a man who says these conditions, when he does them, he either case, it's fine. It works. Why is that? So Litnei ain't a Mikudeshit, right? Why doesn't it say ain't a Mikudeshit? But Lema Achav Adam Choshev Askinan. Make it a parallel case and say it's an Adam Choshev. To Amar Lo Nikli, it's a Mikrive. I don't want to be assured in his relatives, right? Because now she's going to say, I don't like this guy. He had a mum in him. He had a neder with him. And therefore, I'd rather have the Kedushin fall. She can say the same thing. Then have him be okar at mikara, be matar neder mikara. So the Gemara answers, this is an answer we've seen in other places, ihi becholduhu nechala. She'd rather just be married. Doesn't matter who she's married to. She'd rather just be married. Could the Reish Lakish, the statement of Reish Lakish, the Reish Lakish, tav the meitav tandu, or the meitav armalu, right? So it's better to, here, do means to be, to, right? Meaning, it's better to live married, right, or to be together than to be alone. It's much better to be married than to be single. So the Gemara invokes this principle that a woman will much prefer that a marriage works out, or that even though it's not the perfect situation that she wanted, she'd much rather be married than be left as a single woman. And therefore, the woman will overlook or overcome those deficits that the man had versus the other way around, where the man would not overcome those deficits that the woman had. So Abaye Amar, so they're going to give these common sayings. Abaye Amar, the Shumshino, Gavra, Kursi Be Charata, Ramilo. That a woman who is married to a man like an ant, like a man, you know, a little midget like an ant, her seat is among the free women, that she sits among the free women. I mean, that she considers herself to be a Chashuva and to be blessed that she has a husband, even though her husband is some freak. It's still something that she feels good about. I mean, that makes her feel, the positiveness of getting married overcomes any of the other negatives that might be here. Fabar Mar, Damsa Gavra, Tikroi B'Seifet Baba. So a Damsafo is someone who was Menafes Tsemer. It's a person who worked with wool, right? It was Menafes Tsemer, but Umanos Mu'usahi. It was a disgusting profession. I don't know, today with the Kuban, I don't know, coal miner, garbage man, something like that. That a woman would take this, anybody, even the most degrading profession, right? And she'd be excited, she'll call out to him from the side of her balcony. Come sit with me. She'll scream out from the corner of her balcony, come sit with me. She's so excited to have a husband that even though he has a degrading profession and something that not everybody would want, right? Something. Nevertheless, the fact that she's married is so exciting to her that she'll even call out from her balcony in front of her other friends to come sit next to me because she just wants to have her husband. She's so excited to have a husband. Rashi Amar, the Kalsa Gavra, Lubayetal Fechel Kidra. So it says that if you get a husband, even from this family that has no yichus, any guy, any Joe Schmo off the street, then I won't even need, lentils for my pot. Meaning that even though lentils are something tiny to eat, I mean, it's not expensive and it's easy to feed. She goes, I don't need anything. I don't even need food. If I can just get me a husband, you know, from any Joe Schmo family, that'll be enough. So all these are what are common sayings, meaning that the Gemara is invoking sayings that were common refrains in that time, but all of them mean the same thing, which is what? That the woman is willing to take on or accept deficits in the husband because she'd rather be married than single. And that's going to therefore have the din of when a person has a neder on that, when there's a tnai instead of the kedushin, and the tnai technically could maybe fail because either he went to a doctor and got cured after the kedushin, or he did hataras nedarim where we saw that if it's an isha chashuva, it would fail. By an isha chashuva, we don't say it fails by a woman. Why is that? Because the woman would rather be married. Tana, the Gemara adds one thing at the end, v'chulan mizanos v'tolos b'valeim. All these women, even though they say they're just happy to be married, right? That they, but since their husbands are not exactly the pillars of men that they really wanted to marry, therefore they go and cheat on their husbands, and say, yeah, it was from my husband. The baby was from my husband. She wasn't mizanet. But the basic idea that they want to look married, so that way they don't look single and they feel secure, and then they'll go out and do whatever they want on the side. So that's what the Gemara says. All right. Kol mumim shepostlim. So we said in our Mishnah, any mum that's posted by a Kohen is also posted by an Isha. Tano, sifar lehim. So the Gemara says that they added on to these psulim that a Kohen has, also these psulim for a woman. If a woman has these, they're not acceptable. What's that? A zeo, right? She is sweating all the time. Bishuma, some sort of birthmark. Reach peh, and bad breath. That's what it sounds like so far. Bahani, bikahani lo pasle. These are not problematic by a Kohen also. It's not a zakein. Right, that an older person or a chol, someone who's sick, or a mezuham. What is mezuham? Who? Right, mezuham. Right now, we're assuming would encompass all three of the things we mentioned above. He sweats all the time, right, or reich hapeh, bad breath. So the Gemara says, it's not mumim elu ben kvuim ben ovrim postulim psulim ba'adam. That whether these are permanent mumim or whether they are mumim that what? That are not permanent, nevertheless, they are posel. Okay. So, Amar Rabbi Yosef Baruch Hina, Lokasha, kan beze overet, kan beze she'eno overet. The question is, what type of sweating are we talking over here, right? This is not, obviously, it's not the same thing as permanent or not permanent, because Gemara just said it doesn't matter if it's permanent or not, right? That it's problematic. Because zeo veret and zeo lo veret, how do you explain what does that mean? Passing sweat and not passing sweat. So if you look in Tosfos, it says what is zeo veret? Sheyachol la'avir yedei v'chitzas mayim. Does it wash off with a shower? I mean, is this the type of sweat that you take a quick shower and it's gone? Then what? Then it's okay, right? If it's the type of sweat that persists even after a shower, then that's not okay. So that'll be the difference between what we're talking about by a Kohen versus what we're talking about by an Isha. So for Ashi Amar, Zeya Mezuham Karamis? You're asking Zeya sweating to Mezuham. Right? Those are different types of things. Right? They're awesome. Gabi Kohanim Efshalav Rabbi Kiyua Techamo. Right? If you were talking about just sweat, Zeya, you can take some sharp wine and, you know, that'll get rid of the sweat, right? Umireach apeh nami, or bad breath. Efshon did not get pilpula bapume. Fabi Avodah, he could put some pepper in his mouth. That's what they considered to be that was the equivalent of scope in their time. They put in a hot pepper in the mouth, and then he can go out and do his avoda. So in each of these cases, they could temporarily suspend the problem, right? So you could take some sharp wine and get rid of this bad smell or whatever, the permanent sweat, or you could put some mouthwash in the mouth. Now get rid of the bad breath, and then the Kohen can go then and do avoda. But by a woman, about Gabi Isha lo efshar, right? You can't say that because the guy's got to live with her all the time. You can't say, oh, if she gets rid of it temporarily, that's okay. Every time she looks at him, you know, I mean, every time she talks to him, looks at him, she's going to have this issue, and therefore it's too much to overcome. Hai shuma ichi domyo. What's this birthmark or right some sort of a stain on her that ruins the marriage? Is not overcome to allow the marriage to continue. If it has hair growing out of it, or pasla. Either way, by a Kohen or by a woman, that'll be no good. If it doesn't have any hair in it, if it's a big mark like that, again, both by Kohen and by a woman, that would be pasla. If it's a tiny one, then both by a woman and by a Kohen, it wouldn't be a problem. So where do you come up with this shuma that's problematic for the marriage? Titania, shuma, we have a price that supports what we just, the definition we said, shuma sheish baseyar, if you have a birthmark or a stain, some sort of thing on the body that has hair growing out of it, or is a mum, that's a mum. Ein baseyar, if it doesn't have any hair growing out of it, gedola, is a mum. If it's a big mark, then it's a mum, because it's so obvious, it's visible. Tana, ain't a mum, if it's a small one, it's not a mum. When does it change from being a small one to a big one? Right, the coin of the Isar, the Italian Isar, that's the size that we would define it as. So Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi China, Bomeret al Padechta. Now this is a case where it's a small birthmark, which by Kohen will not be a mum, But why a woman will be a mum? Why? Because it's on her forehead. It's in a very visible location. Umar says, Padechta, if it's on her forehead, Rav Nifayasu. He saw it. He knew about it. He can't claim I didn't know about it. He saw it, and then he married her anyway. He saw it and married her anyway, then what? Then he can't make a claim that it's not, this is a mum that I don't want. It's a birthmark that is under the, what? Like where she covers her hair. I mean, it's something that where when she wore a head covering or a hat, it would be at the edge of that area. And therefore, zimdin mitchazi, zimdin lo mitchazi. Sometimes it's visible, sometimes it's not visible. So therefore, you could say, what? The possibility that when he got married, he didn't know about it or he didn't see it. And then he realizes she has this mum there and it's going to show up every once in a while. That's the type of mum we're talking about here. All right. I heard this from a great man. Who is it, Rabbi Shmuel? Noshcha kelev, if she was bitten by a dog, v'nasa mekom tzalekit, and then there's some sort of
scab,
right? I don't know. It's probably more than a scab, but it's something that like a recurring scab or permanent sort of disfigurement from that. How is a mum? That is a mum. Amar Rav Chista. Rav Chista says kol avabi isha. What?
A scar.
Thank you. A woman who has a deep voice is considered a mum. Why? Because it says in Shir HaShirim that what's the like the definition of woman is right, that your voice is pleasant and your appearance right is pleasing.
So they didn't talk on their day.
Right, they didn't talk on the date. Well, I mean, you can imagine what types of marriages these, how these were set up, and how, again, that we see a lot of this stuff, which is what they had a rusin, and it wasn't so clear that they had seen the woman. You know, we had cases earlier, remember, with the Rebbe's son, where they, the bride was there, they were negotiating for the bride, and they were negotiating how long he would learn, 14 years, 7 years, and then they kept bringing the bride in front of him, and he was reducing the time. So like the idea was that he hadn't seen the bride before. He was getting married and then having a condition to go learn, and he didn't even know who she was. And all of a sudden they brought him in front of him, and he was starting to, you know, get attracted to her. But that wasn't, it seems like that was, you know, unusual, or they were trying to get him to reduce the number by attract. But they didn't really know, or they didn't see. And then this idea that there was the Rusin and 12 months later Nisuin, that only at the point of Nisuin does a person realize that the woman had mumim, have other issues, because he really hadn't spent a lot of time with her. All right, Tani, Rabbi Natan Bira. So this is Gemara. Rabbi Natan Bira says, "Ben Dada Isha Tefach," that a woman between her breasts has to have a spacing of a tefach. So Rav Acha Breid the Rava Kamei the Ravash the Meimar Tefach LeMal Yuso. Right, this is that tefach means what? That's a woman who's really beautiful as a tefach, but not that if she has a deficit of a tefach that that's a mum. Amar Ravashi Gabi Mum Tanya. No, that we wrote by a mumim. That if it's less than a tefach, then that's a mum for a woman. The kama. So what's considered a mum? Amar Abaye shlosh espos, that three etzbos is what do you call it? Is considered too little, and therefore it's considered a mum. Tani Rabbi Natan Omer kol isha shadadei agasim mishal chavarotei zeh mum. The woman has breasts that are too large, that's also a mum. The kama, how large does that have to be? I'm Ramesha Bered the Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Mishmei the Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, tefach. If they're a tefach greater than what a normal size would be, that is considered too large. It says, Umiika hai gafna. I mean, is there such a thing? I mean, that's such a large, that those are so large that it's something that wouldn't be found. It says, in, Tama Rabbi Ruchana, Rabbi Ruchana says, Ani re'iti aravya achas, I saw one, I don't know, Arabic woman. She Shila Dadela Chorea, that she was able to throw her breasts over her shoulder, and then feed her child. So therefore there is such a mum, and therefore that would be considered a mum in a woman. Alright, little agata, they're gonna break down. This is just because it's coming from the same Amora that had the previous memra. Nothing to do with our Gemara. It says Litzion Yeamar Ish Bi Ish Yulad Ba Bechu Yochanan Elyon. Right, so here it's talking about in Tehillim, it says Tzion, everybody will say about Tzion, about Eretz Yisrael, that you're born here and you are born here, meaning that even though these people were really not born in Eretz Yisrael, but they come to Eretz Yisrael, and it's going to say that everybody, it'll say about everyone that they were born, this is just Pashup Shantai, right? That they were born in Eretz Yisrael. Even that's not so clear what the pasuk pshat. It's in this, but I'm trying to give a pshat, a simple pshat, and what it would be means. It's saying Yamar ish v'ish yulad bach. And Hashem will establish it. Right? It will be a place that Hashem established. So Amar Rabbi Yosha Brei, Rabbi Yosha Ben Levi, Echad HaNoled Ba. What is it? It says Ish V'Ish. Right? Which sounds like what? What? You could have just said, Ulutin Yomer Ish Yulad Ba. They'll say about Zion that this, everyone, I was, each person is born here. Ish Yulad Ba, a person is born here, even though they weren't, they'd come and been Oled La'aretz. They'll say you're born here. So why does it say Ish V'Ish? So echad anoled ba, one that is born there. Echad hametzapel yiroto, or one who is looking forward to seeing it. Someone who wasn't born there. So that both of them will what? That they will be established on that. So if you look at Rashi, Ulitzion Yamar, Rashi says, explains right across from where we are in the Gemara. Shum dari ba Rav Meisha nakitla. So since Rav Meisha was talking about it, therefore we brought this memory down. Ulitzion Yamar ishvi ishu leba latid lavo. The future, kishit kayem mikrash katuv, when the pasuk is fulfilled, they view it kochem mincha Hashem, that every all our brothers will come together and bring a mincha to Hashem. Komakom shimtu sham Yisrael. Anytime there's found a person from the Jews, yomru amim zeu mibnei Tzion. They'll say this guy's a Jew. This guy's from Tzion. Zeh yulad ba nivienu l'sham. Right? He was born there. Let's bring him up there. Let's take him up to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, so based on that, the way Rashi is interpreting the Pasuk, right, that Ish V'Ish, is each they'll say both about the person that's found in Eretz Yisrael and also the person who is outside of Eretz Yisrael comes up, right, they'll say he belongs in Tzion, he belongs up in Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, someone who's born in Eretz Yisrael is as powerful as two from Eretz Yisrael. Bavel, right, I'm sorry, right, born outside of Eretz Yisrael, right, Chutz La'aretz. So that's it. So a person from Eretz Yisrael has got twice the kochos than a person outside of Eretz Yisrael. So I'm a rabba, but chavinan.
Where is he born? Where is he born? I'm sorry.
All right. I mean, from the pasuk, you're right. It's true. It doesn't say. You could say just one a person of Eretz Yisrael, but from the next line in the Gemara, I think it means born there.
Okay.
Right. Because it says I'm a rabba, but chavinan. One of us, kisalik the hasam. One of us who comes from Chutz La'aretz and comes into Eretz Yisrael is Ola La'aretz. Adif kitre minayu is where twice as many, twice as good as someone from born in Eretz Yisrael. That's why I used the one born, all right? So that's it. So that's what he says, is that a person from Eretz Yisrael is, you know, is twice as good as a person from Chutz La'aretz. But a person from Chutz La'aretz that comes up to Eretz Yisrael is worth twice as much as a person born in it, so four times as good as someone from Chutz La'aretz. So that's why, right? So here you go. There's a table full of people came from Chutz La'aretz here. There you go. That the kochos to make
twice.
Change, affect change, and
I came twice.
Right, you came twice. So you have double. That's it. So you have to affect change in Eretz Yisrael. Ta, Rabbi Yirmiyah, ki hava hocha lava yata my kamre. Rabbi Yirmiyah, when he lived in Babel, didn't know what was flying. Was in Mishia. Rabbanan, what the Rabbanan we're talking about. He was like the back of the base measures. He was like it was not a big one of the big Talmidei Chachamim. He saw it awesome when he got over to Eretz Yisrael, Karilan, he started calling the people back above Bavlai Tipsha. These silly Babylonians. Right? All of a sudden he knew so much that he was able to call them silly Babylonians. Right to the Mishnah. Hayu ba mumim v'oda beveis avia. Right? So she was has mumi on her and she's still in her father's house. Of Tzarech Laviraya, Sheminit Arsa Yu ba mumim halalu. That these mumim only came after she got engaged. We had this in the first Mishnah. Well, that it was his bad luck that she got this mum. Once she's already entered the house of the Baal, meaning that she has nisuin already, that these women were prior to the engagement. And therefore what? It was a mechachtos. It was a mistaken transaction. And therefore he would undo it. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's when they are not obvious mumim. Of a mumim shebegalu, and if it's an obvious mumim, he has no rights to say it. Why? Because he saw it. If he saw it and still married her, that means that what he accepted the status quo. That's not. You can't say then afterwards. Oh, I didn't. You know, this was here beforehand. And if there's a bathhouse in that city, even private mumim or a covered mumim, you can't. Why? Because. And like today, everybody has a private shower. If there was a bathhouse in the city, all the women went to the same bathhouse, and his relatives, his mother, his sister, were checking out the woman to see if she had any moment.
Did we have that?
Yeah, we did. We've had this. The Gemara is mentioned by Simpon. The Gemara mentioned that before. That by Truma. By Truma. One of the fears we have about giving an Arusa to Truma is Mishum Simpon, because later on they'll find a mum in her. So the Gemara says, but why by Nisuin do we feed her Truma? Because maybe he also find a mum there and he'll regret it. So the Gemara says, no, that what? That he would check her out by the Merchat. He would check her out. He could check her out with his relatives. Time at the Maisa Avraya. The reasoning here is what? Because the father has to bring a raya. Halo Mosa Avraya, Habal Mehemin. That if the father does not bring a proof, then the husband is believed. Mani, who does that like? That's like Rabbi Yeshua. To Amar Lomi Piha Anu Chayin. That we don't listen to the woman. We don't.
Trust
her. All right, we'll get it. One second. We'll do this in a second. Ema Seifa.
Same Rabbi Yeshua of Shvuya?
Not Shvuya. We're going to talk about it in a second, about a Nensa. We'll do the Rashi in a second. We'll go through it. I just want to get to Rabbi Gamliel's opinion, then we'll see what their opinions are. Ema Seifa. Nechnesa the Rishu Sabal. She enters the session of the Baal Nesuin. A Baal Tzarech Labi Raya. Time the Maisi Abal Raya. Because the husband has to bring a proof. How long Maisi Abal Raya? If the husband doesn't bring a proof, I'm a Amen. The father is believed. Atan the Gamliel, Damar Nemenet. This goes like Rabbi Gamliel. It says she is believed. All right, so what is Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Gamliel? So you're asking, look at Rashi. It's the Mani Rabbi Shua. He, it's the second wide lines in Rashi. Mani Rabbi Shua. He. The Parakama, talking about in the first parak. He omeret mishe restani nenasti. I was raped after our engagement. But omer achlo restich, right, that before we got engaged, you were an anas, you're not a psula. Lo mepia anu chayim. In a minute, we don't listen to her and say she's believed that it happened prior to her engagement. Ella hamed ma'amon al cheskato. Right? The money stays in its possession. Who has the money right now? The husband. Velo adlin batar chazaka de gufa. And we don't go after the chazaka of the body. What's the chazaka of a body? That a woman is a psula. In general, she was born a psula, and the assumption is that status quo remains, unless we have evidence otherwise. Lomar, ho v'safik b'yadeinu al-shat erusin. We don't know. At the time of erusin, we don't know if she was a psula or not. Mahi, what's the din? Hemet aguf al-cheskato shel kodem l'chein. Put the body in the original status. What was the original status of the body? That she is a psula. Very know the psula, and she was born a psula. Al-chanami, lo amrinin hemet guf al-cheskato. We don't say put the body with the chazakas, below mumin oda, that generally a baby is born without any mumim, and therefore he made up the body on his chazaka. Ama atan reg, below the mar hasam, he nemenet, she is believed, the chazaka de gufa adifa.
It's funny, we don't say she's believed, see that the husband, the father's believed.
Not father, where's here?
I'm saying in our Mishnah, it says that.
Hey, yo, we're not talking, the Gemara is not bringing that it's the exact case, the belief with her. The question is not what she states over here. The question is, which chazaka do we give priority to? Mm-hmm. There are two chazakas here. There's a chazaka of money. Where's the money placed right now? It's with the husband. Mm-hmm. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to take money out of the husband. If he divorces, he's going to have to pay a ksuba to get rid of this woman. So money is with the husband. So you're trying to move that out of that chazaka. Number two is you have a woman who has a chazaka in general that she's a psula. And number two is that she doesn't have any mumim. So which one do you give more weight to?
So in both cases, even if he said that happened before, he's going to have to give a... And to make a chtos, he's still going to have to give a get. He's suffering, I assume.
No, not in both cases. Why? If we say that... That's what Rabbi Shua's opinion.
No, Rabbi Shua on the top. That we, from the Yerushin, that we trust him.
Well, if Rabbi Shua says that we don't listen to her chazaka, we don't push her chazaka, therefore what? If we assume that it happened before,
we're going to trust that also for get, or that's only for monetary issues?
Oh, even for get, it sounds like. We don't trust her, and we say, I mean, maybe he has to get a get misafek, but that we're not going to be mostly a chaver al avaraya, and she's going to have to prove to get her
sounds,
to suba.
That sounds monetary, it doesn't sound like a get, it sounds like a get to
But the point is that we don't believe her, that we don't either believe her, or we don't assume that her status quo of her body overcomes the status quo of the money.
And what does it say, in Perikov? What she says, why do we have to get the father involved?
Because it's a transactional issue. The father says, when I married her off to you, he married her off. That's what's going on. When I married her off to you, she was in perfect condition. And things failed.
Because of the father said she was
there. It also could be a katana. You could address the situation as a katana. But, I mean, that's the transaction or the possessions are balling out. We've had this.
I know. Over there, Nanasi, the father had no idea. It's not like the father knows.
Right. Well, she's the one who has to make the claim.
Right. This is a Neza. It's the moon.
Right. Maybe the father can make the claim. It's fine. All right. So that's Rabbi Yeshua. Gamliel says, no, we focus on where, what? The chazaka, the goof, is what dictates. Therefore, we believe her, and therefore the husband is what? The husband is on the hook for the money. So Mar says, Tavar Misha Shanazu, Lo Shanazu, that you have to divide the Mishnah up. The first half of the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yeshua, and the second half of the Mishnah goes like Rabbi Gamliel. All right, so you have to split the Mishnah, because the Mishnah, one side, it looks like you're going out and you believe her, and then the second half of the Mishnah looks, excuse me, like we believe her and her nemanis and the chazaka of her goof, versus the first half of the Mishnah, which looks like we go after him, that the chazaka is with and his half. Won't do it now, but Tosfos just points out, if you do that, then it's going to come out that you have this, that the two cases of the Mishnah are not exactly parallel, because the person who says the ratio will not agree to what they say in the same. Right, exactly. The Peshus won't matter. So that's a Tosfos over here talks about it, if you want to look at it. All right, we don't have time to look at it now. Amarava, lo tem Rabbi Yeshua lo azul batar chazaka de gufa klal. Don't say that Rabbi Yeshua, just like over here, by nemenet, by the nenasti, and also in our case over here, does not focus on the chazaka de gufa at all. Elakilo azul Rabbi Yeshua batar chazaka de gufa. When does Rabbi Yeshua say that the chazaka de gufa is not relevant? Hecha de icha chazaka de mamona. That's the only way of the chazaka of the mamon that's with the husband. But in a case where the chazaka the mamon is not relevant, then he will go after the chazaka of the goof. Titania, we have a brisa. In baheret kodem l'se'ar. This is by negoyim. When? How do we know that there's certain types of negoyim? What are the negoyim? Is what? If the baheret, if the nega was there before the se'ar lavan, before the white hair that goes out of it, white hairs are a siman tuma by negoyim. So therefore, what? Tamei. Im se'er lavan kodum lebaheret. If you already had white hairs there growing there before the nega came up, tahor. Sofei. What happens if you don't know which came first? Tamei. Right? Then it's tamei. Rabbi Yeshua Amar keha. It's light. Ma keha. My keha. Amar Rabbi keha. Tor. That means it's tor. So you see what? Chazkazkaguf. But what? The assumption is that he didn't have negayim before. He's tahor. And what do we say? The chazaka stands, because we have a suffix here. The suffix does not uproot the original chazaka of the goof, that you are tahor. And therefore you see what? Here there's no mamon to deal with, and therefore the chazaka stands. Now, Rava suggests a different answer for how to read our mission. Rava, my ratio kan nimtzu v'kan hayu. Seifanami kan nimtzu v'kan hayu. Now, the way to read the Mishnah is that not it's like two different opinions from Yeshua and Rabbi Lazar, but what, rather, it's that wherever she is situated now, we assume, kam nimtzu, they were found here, therefore we assume they also had happened here. So when she's in the Rishus Ha'av, when she's Ne'aras, she's still in the Rishus Ha'av, we assume what? She's in the Rishus Ha'av, that must be where the Mumim happened. So therefore the obligation's on the father to bring proof that they happened after the Erusin. When she already reaches the Rishus Ha'av, the Baal, then we assume what? That they happened when she was with the Baal. And therefore, it's the obligations on the husband to prove that they happened prior to that point in time.
For some reason, you can't say the same thing in an Anasti, right?
Right. I mean, maybe you could, but right, you can't...
No, because I mean, that would be the whole...
Right, that's Machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, but maybe Rava is saying only according to one of those two opinions, right? You could have suggested that. So, Eitvei Abaye, Nichnasa the Rishus Baal, and if she went into the Rishus Baal, about Tzorech Abi Raya. Right, so now what the Bible says, it says once she goes into the Rishus Baal, the husband has to bring a Raya. She Achlo Tidaris Hayaba Mumim Elu, that before she had a Rusin in a Mumim Elu. Bahaya Mecho Mechotos Achlo Tidaris in Misha Tidaris Lo. But that says that goes against what Rava is saying. Rava is saying the whole issue is where the Mumim happens. Where the Mumim happens. If the Mumim only happened after the Baal was what? Nisuin, then why are we cutting the cutoff as Erusin? It doesn't make sense to have the cutoff be Erusin if the cutoff is really Nisuin. But my, Lema kan nimtzu v'kan hayu. Why does he have to bring? Why, once she is married to the husband, does he have to bring a proof that these mum had all the way before the Erusin? We could just say that she was still in her father's house all the way through the 12 months of Erusin, and therefore it should be the father's obligation. So that undermines Rabba's principle that what? Wherever they're found, that's where they exist. Wherever they're found, that's where they exist. If you say that, then we have a clear time. When should the cutoff time be? Nisuin. Till Nisuin, she's found at her father's house. After Nisuin, she's found at her husband's house. So that's the principle. That should be the cutoff. But why, when she's with her husband, do we say what? He's got a proof that the woman came even before the Erusin. That doesn't make any sense. So Gemara says, no. Amalei.
No, because if it happens during the Erusin, then it's his bad luck. That means you use the chazaka.
Okay. Right, right. So no, but now according to the way Rav is learning it, we make there's a general assumption that wherever they're found,
oh, right, so
that's where they are.
Now, if you want to prove, so it's not going to help you to prove that it happened before that assumption,
no,
which is my house. Even if you prove that it happened before when she entered, you're still not.
No, because then what we'll do is we'll say, okay, it happened between a recent issue and. Right, that's where the mum happened. Then he throws the obligation back to the father. Then we'll say, well,
that
happened in my father's house. It must have been there even before that. So all he has to do is prove that it was there before
the
suit. Right, exactly. So that's it. So he says, no, Amarlei, Mishnah Ta'arsa, Mishum Ta'ikala Meymar, Chazaka in Adam Shot Bekos, Elam Kain Botko. No, because we can say, what? That a person will not drink from a cup unless he checks it. Meaning that he would never have gone through the Nisuin without checking to make sure. So therefore, the burden of proof is shifted much more over to the husband now. Very high, Rav, and Nitpayesu. And therefore, what? He was Nitpayesu. So there, it's not enough. What? It's not enough to show that the mom was what? Was there at the point of Nisuin. That's the, like you were saying, the goal line. That's the cutoff, because even if he shows it was before, the father can say, you're right, it was there before, but what? You accepted it. Only if he can prove that it was before the Arusin can he say there was a Mekach Tos, that the original Kedushin were not a good Kedushin.
And why can you say then that you're Mochel?
Oh, Yochi, Achelot, Tidaris, Nami. So then even if it's before the Arusin, why shouldn't that be? No, we say, right, a chazaka that a person even will never overcome that issue of mumim. So, what?
No, so it's a question. So
right. It's a problem. You have two tzadim on any side, so you solve this problem. Ella, mishnit arsa, mishum t'ike tarte chazaka. No, because there are two chazakas. Once he gets engaged, there's two chazakas. Chazaka hemed gufal chazkato. Number one, you have a chazaka of what? Leave the body in its intact state. Number two, b'chazaka in adam shote b'kos elokei botko. Right? But then hi rov and nitfayesu. He saw them and he took on them. So my amar chazaka in adam afayes b'mumim. There, what? A person doesn't accept mumim. Have chada b'makom tre. You have one against two. Right? B'chakom makom tre lo amrinan. Then we don't say it. If he can prove that the mum was there before the erusin, then you have muda guf al chazkato. Right? Lo, ika lemeimar, right? Because you can't say leave the body in its intact state. Ma'ika, what's left? Chazaka in adam shot v'kos elam kein botko. You only have one chazaka that, what? Since he married her, he must have accepted them. By rov in ifayesu. So therefore, that he should go. Ad rabba chazaka in adam ifayes b'mumen v'mamono chazkaso. Right. So then you can have the other side come and override it. So that's the question. You have a number of principles that are intact here, and the question is, how many chazakos do you have? So that's the point. The point is, what at each stage, you have a different number of chazakos. After Erusin, right, you have two in favor of the father. Why do you have two in favor of the father? Once you got Nisuin, and then the husband comes back and is trying to prove that what they have. And if you can only prove that the women were there after Erusin, the father could say, what? You have a chazaka of the guf, that the guf is intact. And you have a chazaka that a person doesn't get married unless he saw the mumin accept him. So I have two in my favor. So the husband says, oh, there's a chazaka that a person never accepts mumin. He only has one. So therefore, the father has a stronger claim, and the evidence is going to have to be on the husband to prove that it was there. But if it happened, if he can show that the mum was there prior to Erusin, then you don't have a chazaka, hemed gufo chazkasko, right? Because that's
it happened before
the Erusin, then there's no chazaka. You've ruined that chazaka.
Then you're going to say that I was.
You have two chazakas, but I can say that I ain't mafayis. That a
chazaka.
One gun, then it's your obligation now again to prove, because it's in your house, you got to prove where it is. All right, we'll review this tomorrow to continue the Gemara anyway, because it's all part of this Gemara. But this
one's good.
Yeah, all right, just quickly, we'll review it just to make sure that we get through these issues of the chazaka.
Shikaya.